Michigan HockeyCast 3.21. Oh, wait. Michigan non-HockeyCast 3.21. Is that a thing? Well, I guess it is now. Opening, we usually try to make a joke or do something funny, but you made a really good point this week, and there are a couple of teams that we're going to talk about, but there's a couple other teams that we're not going to talk about in depth, but should be recognized on this campus.
Buffalo Sabres.
And the Toronto Blue Jays, who are going to play in Buffalo, I guess, again, and boot their minor league team to Trenton, which I've never heard of that happening. Anyway, teams in Ann Arbor, on campus, that are doing really well, that usually get overlooked, but should not be anymore. One is obviously the women's gymnastics team, who won a national title. Like, didn't make the finals, but actually won one. It's been a while. What, since 2013, 14?
Something like that.
When men's gymnastics did. And field hockey, who has won the Big Ten twice.
Yep.
Right? Is that the best way to say it?
Well, they won the regular season and the tournament.
Right. So they hung two banners already. And they're the number two seed overall going into the NCAA tournament, which takes place in what, I think, next weekend?
It's over two weekends. It starts on Sunday. Well, it's starting sooner than that, but they don't play till Sunday.
Right, because they have a bye. There's what, like 12 teams in it or something?
I don't know. I don't know anything about field hockey or gymnastics, I won't give you any analysis.
But you've called a field hockey game.
Yep.
Have you called the gymnastics meet?
No.
Do you watch it in the Olympics?
Yeah, but I don't know much about gymnastics.
What event would you want to take place in gymnastics? What would be your event?
I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely made for gymnastics in the sense that all the gymnasts are short.
Because
so.
you're short and stacked.
I don't know. I mean, I think gymnastics is very interesting in that the men's gymnastics is very sort of built around strength and things like that.
Yeah.
And the women's is much more about sort of like agility and
balance.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, I mean, they're very interesting sports to watch, but I only watch them once every 4 years, if I'm just being honest. So,
yeah. And when Michigan goes on a bit of a run.
So good work to those teams.
Yes. We thought it would be important to recognize both of them. Before we get into the non-hockey part or section series, maybe, of the hockey cast. So today we were going to deal with Michigan baseball and Michigan softball. A little bit that we've talked about in the past. Seasons that are going, I would say, pretty well for both.
Yeah, probably. I think that's roughly the case.
We'll start with baseball. Since the last time we had a hockey cast, or at least a non-hockey cast, or talked about anything regarding the small ball here, Michigan has played in three series, I believe, right? So three series with three games each, starting first with hosting Ohio State. And that series ended weird. It started with a loss, unfortunately, in a game that Michigan started their number one starter, Stephen
Hadjar.
We've had this debate a lot.
It's not a debate. I'm just telling you how it's pronounced.
I'm getting to be like Brian. Pretty soon I'm going to start saying like Drew DeLeo and Taylor Lewin. It's going to get bad. But so Stephen Hadjar.
Yeah.
I wrote down he was all right. He had five innings, eight hits, two runs, two walks, four Ks. Nothing that really stood out. Pace got knocked around a little bit in relief. They brought in White and Proctor, also gave up runs. The bullpen at that time was a bit of a question mark. It kind of has been a little bit off and on. They hit a little bit, scoring four runs. It was 7-4. And it was kind of a bummer because Ohio State wasn't great, right? I mean, they were, at least coming into that series, they were middle of the road. Michigan was more at the higher end of the Big Ten.
I mean, your hope in any series is to sweep, but more realistic in baseball is to just get two out of three. Unless you're playing a really bad team.
So, continuing on to the next day, Michigan did win in game two, where their number two pitcher, Cameron Weston, pitched pretty well. 6 2/3, five hits, three walks, five Ks. Not a bad effort.
Weston's been a rock for Michigan.
Has he been their best pitcher this year? Has he been their best starter this year? Because I think we know who their best pitcher is.
Angelo Smith. But I would still trust Hadjer in a big game more than I would Weston. But
statistically, Weston might be out.
He has a case.
Of course, he's facing the other team's number twos as well. Bertram finally got going in that game. It had been a while for him. He was on the team that went to the national title series and took over when Blomgren got hurt. Blomgren had like a slide, right? And broke his finger. And Bertram came in for a few games and played pretty well. Didn't hit the ball great, but played some good defense. And you always kind of thought, all right, he's the heir apparent at shortstop. That has never really materialized, as Michigan now has a pretty good shortstop in Benjamin Sims. But Bertram has played second base and it for times lost his job to Ted Burton, correct? Or it was a battle anyway.
Well, now Burton's now over at first more than
right. Yeah. Now he's moved to first, but at the time there was the debate is okay, is Bertram hanging around? But in game two of this game where Michigan did win 7-0, Bertram did get a few hits and 3 RBIs, 3 for 4, a couple of runs. Sims also had a couple hits and runs. Molfetta, who has been one of their most consistent hitters all year too, delivered again, and Michigan pulled away from the Buckeyes, winning 7-0. And then this is the game that we were going to talk about a couple weeks ago and had been on delay. But in game three, Michigan wins 16-7. But what was the score after like the seventh inning? It was like 7-2, 7-3. And then like the rain just came down out of everywhere. And I mean, there's debate that the game should have just been called, right? Like in the eighth inning.
It was very weird that they were still playing.
Because it was pouring, and Ohio State couldn't throw a strike.
Which is sometimes a problem in college baseball, especially when it becomes bullpen battles, is they just don't have the same number of strike throwers as the MLB has.
Did you see the clip from a few days ago where I think it was the Reds pitcher who it was just pouring rain, and he asked for a new baseball, so the umpire takes one out of his little bag and throws it to him, and he like grabs it, rubs it a little bit, feels it, and it's wet already, so he throws it to the dugout, and so the umpire walks out, and they do this 3 or 4 more times, and the pitcher just had thrown all the balls away because it was too wet. I feel like this was a situation where that easily could have happened, because there was like a plethora of walks, there was a home run, Michigan got some hits, but the game just kept going, and they ended up getting 16 runs, and when starting with like 7, and then they almost blow it. Ohio State, like the same thing happens to them, where Michigan can't throw a strike, and you're basically playing in like soppy conditions everywhere because it's a big carpet. And I don't know. That was just, I never really watched a game like that. It's like they had to squeeze in the last 6 to 9 outs.
Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in, Alex. But at the time, that was a big series win for Michigan. They go up to, and it wasn't, there's really not a lot. They moved the game up in time. I think it was supposed to be played at 4. It was played at noon.
It still went way too long.
Yeah, because you're playing in the rain, and at some point, there are some sports you can't play in the rain. There's some that, like, a version of the sport can be played in the rain. I don't believe baseball is on that list.
Probably not, but it's fun to watch those games sometimes if you don't have a rooting stake.
I suppose, if you're limited on other things.
It's kind of like football, in the big snowy games where the players can't throw the ball or anything like that.
That is true. But that is a game that there a version of football can be played in the rain or in the snow, and it is at least mildly entertaining. I will give you that.
Entertaining is a low bar. The Malice at the Palace was highly entertaining.
That's glad we brought that up. The second series, then, that Michigan had, and this was, so it would be, 10 days ago, a weekend and a half ago, was Michigan traveled to Minneapolis to play Minnesota. I hadn't really looked up a whole lot of Minnesota. Turns out they're not so great.
They're bad now.
They're really bad, and Michigan wins the first game 21-5. I was out doing something. I came back to watch that game with Craig. We put it on, and I think in the sixth inning, the fifth inning, it was like 15-1 or something, like 15-2 or something like that. And I just wanted to read through the line score because this is the game for you, is that by inning, Michigan scores were 1-1, 4-2, 7, 3-3, 0-0. And they won 21-5. I'm not really sure what to take from that, if there's anything other than sounds like Minnesota's, shall we say, subpar?
The only real thing to talk about in this weekend is that Michigan needed to get all 3 wins, and they did.
That's true.
You're not going to learn a lot playing a team like that.
I will shout out that Danny Zimmerman, I think, homered in three straight at bats, where like overlapping that last Ohio State game, where I think his first two ABs he hit home runs, or maybe two or something. There was a note about that. And then in game two, your boy Weston pitched really well, 7 innings, 6 hits, 8 Ks, 1 walk. Michigan wins 4-0. But this was an interesting game because it was 0-0 going into the ninth. And I mean, I was a little nervous because like you can't drop games, and like you said, you want to win 2 of 3 in series.
Yeah, this was the one you needed to get.
But when
three.
You're playing Minnesota, who has like four yeah. wins on the year, you need to win them all. And they did get the hits at the end. Burton hit a home run, Flores had a triple, and they only had 4 hits, but they got their cluster luck, is a baseball term, right? At the right time in the ninth inning and did escape. Game three in that series, so now they've won 4 games in a row. Denner is their third starter, delivers an okay performance. Michigan ends up winning 9-5. Their bullpen was dodgy. Everybody kind of gives up a run. They all pitch parts of an inning. And their best pitcher, I think probably their best pitcher, Willie Weiss, who's been really great out as a closer, slammed the door at the end.
Well, he had to come in the eighth when things got kind of close, and then
right.
they got some insurance in the ninth.
Yeah, sort of a I had a seesaw hitting affair because Michigan had to lead them a bit, but they'd pull ahead, yeah. and then Minnesota would come back, and Elliott had a home run. He's been having a nice last month or so as they moved him up in the order to, I think, around, he was hitting 3 or 4.
Yeah, Elliott's become a pretty good player. I mean, obviously starting as a freshman in the quarter of a season they got last year was a sign that he had a lot of potential, but started to really round himself out.
Semmes had a homer in that game, and Burton had 3 RBIs. It just seems, and the last note I had from this series was, it just seems that, like, okay, so the Obertop thing is, like, he's had some big moments, and,
yeah.
and obviously, as you know from the Michigan State game, but has hit a lot of home runs, and he's kind of like their centerpiece, but everyone else is just kind of a pretty good hitter. Like, there's not a lot of players in the lineup that aren't hitting really well, but it's sort of like team runs are scored throughout this. It's not like you're waiting for your all-stars to come through. It seems every game they get decent hitting from the majority of the lineup.
Yeah, it's a balanced lineup at the moment.
And now we're going to move on to the last series, which was slightly more a bit negative, I guess. They hosted Rutgers, who was middle of the Big Ten-ish around that. And it started all right. Hedger pitched 5 innings on Friday, as he is their number one. 4 runs, only 1 earned, though.
Which, by the way, I believe all of the errors in that game were committed by him.
He committed the errors?
Yes. I think there were 2 throwing errors. I don't remember what the situations were, but my long-held belief is that if you're a pitcher and you commit the error, they're earned runs. You're the one who did it to yourself.
That's interesting. I like that. I mean, that's fair, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't sit there and blame it on your defense when you are the defense.
Yeah.
So those were on him?
Yes. One was a throwing error. I'm not sure if it was on a steal or what the situation
okay.
was. But
he did have 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, which is pretty good. But, he, you know, the bullpen has gotten better, I think. Maybe it's just been the quality of competition to some extent. But it has gotten better in the last few weeks. The issue has been that the starters are not going deep enough still, though.
Welcome to baseball.
Is that where
we're going? In 2021.
5 innings is yeah. like the old 8 innings.
What was I just talking about before the show about the MLB? I mean,
yeah.
guys just don't go very deep anymore.
So Page came in game one and pitched 2 innings, looked pretty good. Pace and Weiss finished it out. Michigan held on for a 6-4 win to win 6 games in a row, which shot them up the Big Ten standings, which we will get to.
Do you want to invite Mickey Lolich on this podcast to talk about how he threw 200 pitches in the World Series in 1968 and went out 2 days later to throw 200 more pitches?
Do you think he's a little perturbed with the way it's going these days?
Every pitcher from like before 1990
yeah.
is just salty about modern baseball. That's just what baseball is.
Is it because their arm is now shreds of what it used to be?
I don't know. They're probably too mad about Tatis taunting or whatever. I don't know.
Hey, Trevor Bauer.
Baseball
fine with
culture
that, right?
is the worst.
It's kind of gone downhill in my opinion, but. Game two is Saturday against Rutgers. Michigan was up 2-0 until the sixth when Weston ran into a little bit of trouble. The bases were loaded. They took him out. Again, only five innings pitched. And Joe Pace comes in, gets a strikeout. You're thinking, all right, if we can get a ground ball, we're in and out of this inning. And he gives up a shot to left center, I think it was, for a double. And it's 3-2. Rutgers adds another one. And then that was really it. I mean, Michigan couldn't really rally a whole lot.
That was kind of the story of the second half of that game and then the entire game on Sunday.
Just not really hitting. And so with the singing, we were singing the lineup's praises during the Ohio State series and the Minnesota series, and even a little bit during game one of the Rutgers series. But, you know, it just kind of dried up.
Every baseball team's going to have it, and that's the cruelty of the way college baseball works. You don't get the sample size you get in the MLB, right?
Yeah.
Slumps are magnified when you're only playing 35 or 40 games.
That is true. In game three, it was another tight affair. Michigan lost this game as well, so they lose 2 of 3 to Rutgers. This game is 3-2. Denner, again, 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 7 Ks, 1 walk. Okay. I mean,
that's the Denner performance.
It's the Denner performance.
Which is fine.
You know, I was talking to Craig about it afterwards, and he's like, you know, he likes Hadjer and he likes Weston, but then it's sort of like the Denner / Dragani performance that ends up kind of coming out is like between the two of them, because Dragani's sort of like a half starter, sort
he's
of
a
like
swingman.
A long reliever, swingman, exactly. And between the two of them, maybe you get a start.
I mean, Denner's started to settle in as the Sunday starter. I mean, he's gotten the Sunday start several weeks in a row now.
Sure. No, he's, I mean, that's what I'm saying, but usually he's going to need a significant amount of bullpen help.
I mean, he needs offensive help. That's, I mean, again, it's your Sunday starter. It's, I mean, not many teams can expect to win 1-0 games all three, you know. I mean, it's just,
that's true.
Your offense will have to pick you up, and they just didn't.
In this series. Yeah. Only 4 hits in game three. They fall 3-2. Ted Burton had another 2-run homer. Obertop, I guess, played in this game. And so that's a good sign, as he had missed the previous 5, 6, 7 games, something like that. And getting him back, I think, will help. It will be interesting to see. It seems like it's going to be tough to take Burton out of the lineup. I'm not sure if they'll move him back to second with Bertram or if he'll play some DH, how they'll do that. But if you can get Jimmy Obertop in the lineup, I think it's a must-have for
Michigan. You have to have both those guys in the lineup.
So those are the last 9 games and the last 3 series. So where are we? Well, when you look at the standings, Nebraska's in first at 20-7. Pretty good. Michigan is still in second, despite the 2 Rutgers flops at the end, and they are 19-9 now, a game and a half back. Indiana's right behind them, or tied with them, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it, 18-8. And Michigan has both of those teams upcoming on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to how do you play in those 2 series, and then, you know, what are you doing in the other ones, too?
I think they host Maryland in one, and
they have the Indiana or the Illinois Northwestern
split this weekend.
Yep.
Too. Do they have a series, I think, in East Lansing as well?
Yes.
I believe.
Look at the schedule.
And then they host Indiana.
Yeah, you have a series. It's Illinois Northwestern, Michigan State, Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska.
Right. And they end in Lincoln.
Yep.
Right? And that's, unless something goes really, really well or really, really poorly, depending on how you look at either one of those teams, I'm guessing that the season is going to come down to that series. Maybe Indiana. But so baseball's doing well. They've played, I think, about as good as you could have asked, especially considering we didn't really know what we were going to get out of the lineup at the beginning of the year. You had a bunch of names that were elsewhere and unproven to a certain extent. We thought that the pitching would probably be okay. The back end of the bullpen looks pretty good, and they're near the top of the Big Ten. Would you have taken this at the beginning of the year?
Probably, yeah. This is baseball, and it's still a ways to go.
So are you enjoying like the jam-packed Big Ten schedule? Because I know that they cut out a bunch of the non-conference games and are going to play, what, somewhere around 40-ish games in the Big Ten. Do you prefer that, or do you miss the old stuff where you're playing MAC games in the middle of the week and you have these random series, you know, in February against, you know, teams from California or the south, down south? Or
you know, baseball, I think it's less of a loss because they would play those early conference series, but they didn't get really the top tier. Sometimes you would. Obviously, last year you played Vanderbilt early, but
yeah.
A lot of times it would be weird. I mean, then after that they went and they played, you know, random teams and like Miami or something. I don't know how. I mean, you would pick up one or two quality opponents, but it wasn't anything super beneficial. So I don't have a problem with this. I mean, the midweek games were kind of fun, except unless you have to call them because they take like 5 hours and there's 12 pitching changes. But
when you're playing Kent State,
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, getting to play more of the Big Ten teams is nice. I mean, I think in softball it's very clearly bad. Because
interesting.
Michigan would always play like at least seven of the top 12 teams, and so you actually got a sense of like, oh, we're a contender or we're not.
But those are
and that got it out of the way in a hurry. Whereas right now we're just in the dark, right? And that's kind of tough.
But I mean, Michigan is traditionally not going to be a World Series contender in baseball. I mean, they've become a Big Ten contender for the most part. The last
I don't think they've lost a ton this year in playing just the Big Ten. Personally.
So then, I mean, it's sort of like reevaluating your expectations. Like, yeah, sure, it'd be nice if you could host a regional and be a top 16 team. And Michigan is on the verge of that. They've been ranked for pretty much the entire year. But part of it is like, hey, you know, are we going to be able to compete with like the LSUs and the UCLAs all the time? So,
well, the other thing is that in baseball, hosting the regional isn't as important.
Right.
There are tons of teams that don't win their regional because baseball's random and playing a double elimination is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
and you're going to play so many games that you're going to have a fifth starter at some point.
Yeah.
But I guess more my point is like, if you can create a fun league where you play pretty much everybody and you go through those series and you play 40 some games and you get, you know, when you're not really playing for, oh, will we make the College World Series this year? But more like, hey, can we win our conference? Because, I mean, that's the reality of Northern baseball for the most part.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's been fun. I've liked being able to see all of the different teams and you get to see like a variety of them instead of playing, you know, we get, you know, 60% of the teams and the other ones, who knows? And then the schedule's unbalanced. And
yeah.
So they have a few big series coming up and they're, I think, in a pretty good shape. They're going to need to obviously keep winning, but it's been fun. And I think that, you know, they have a good shot. I mean, given where they're at and who they have to come, you want to play the best teams at the end of the season and determine a banner that way.
Yeah.
If you find yourself in the penalty box in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man arguing your case. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
Boyfriend by the name of Joe said,
to Coney Isle, dear, we'll go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout,
and to him I heard her shout,
hey, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack, I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Even though this is a non-hockey cast, as we're calling this, I think that we can still touch a little bit on hockey because you and I have a couple of notes. The first thing that I wanted to bring up was a few weeks ago, I got to see a couple of players on the USA U17 team who are currently committed to Michigan. They played a home game up in Plymouth, and I got to go to the game, and I saw Frank Nazar, and Seamus Casey, and Nazar, I thought, looked pretty good. Now, they are, again, playing against players that are older than them, because in the USHL, they're going to be playing against teams that are probably 16, 17, or 17, 18, and these kids are all 16, so they're going to be smaller. You're not going to be expecting as much as you would from the U18s, but I thought that Nazareth Center looked pretty good. He moved well. I saw a number of individual moves where he kind of beat a guy just skating. He played on the power play, which is not surprising, but created a couple chances. And then he even had a breakaway shorthanded goal. So there were some nice individual plays from him, something to look forward to in a couple of years. Casey was on the team too. They're both kind of smaller guys. Like, I think they're both definitely under 6 feet. They can skate, but it's not like, you know, Michigan's gotten a couple of players more recently that are kind of bigger in terms of, like, you have guys like Beecher and that, you know, this isn't them. Like, these are sort of the more fleet of foot and jittery. Is that a good word to describe skaters that kind of bounce around? And so I think it's those are good players coming in. Just wanted to get a couple hockey notes in and talk about that. You have looked at some updated rankings for the NHL draft coming up, and Michigan's, what, crew of four that we're still unsure of where they're going to go and what's going to happen?
Yeah, Bob McKenzie, a legendary insider, put out his updated rankings for April. And again, these are not his rankings. These are rankings based on a poll of 10 scouts who work for NHL teams.
So it's like a combo of things? Okay.
He polls 10 people who work for NHL teams and says, what are you thinking? So it's historically far more predictive than any individual scout. Like Corey Pronman's rankings, you can look at them if you want, but don't look at them to see where a guy's going to be drafted, because Corey's giving you his opinion, what he thinks, not what's going to happen. That's different, right? McKenzie's rankings are useful not to tell you who's going to be a good player. That might be Pronman if you trust Pronman as a scout. McKenzie's rankings are what's going to happen.
Like the consensus.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, McKenzie's rankings, generally speaking, are only off by around 5. Like, if a player's at 15, they're not going to go 45. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just, because he's polling real teams, you know, there's enough assurance there that it's going to be close, you know, in the ballpark. So these are very interesting and important to look at. And the notable thing was that Owen Power is the unanimous number one.
Unanimous.
Yep. 10 out of 10 rated him number one.
So he's going. So is this kind of like, it doesn't matter who wins the lottery, he's going one?
According to this.
What do you think?
Not surprised.
You're not?
No.
Because he's a defenseman?
This is the NHL. The NHL, I mean, you saw a team a couple weeks ago, we don't need to name them, give up a actual 7th-round pick for Eric Goodbranson. I mean, dudes who are just objectively awful get traded for assets because they're big and they're a defenseman. And so, you know, in this league still, you just get, it's like a left-handed pitcher, right? You just get an added boost to your stock if you're a big defenseman.
And you can move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Eric Goodbranson can't move.
So, okay. In a normal year, where would you think Power fits in?
Well, this draft is a little weaker at the top.
Sure. We've discussed that.
If this is the 2020 draft, Power is probably going... between 5 and 10 would be my guess.
Do you think that would... like all the other players that are then affected by that?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think he would have been around where Drysdale and Sanderson went at 5 and 6 in that draft.
Okay. So he's the unanimous number one.
Yep. Beniers is listed at number 4.
What do you think of that?
That seems, it seems about right. Dylan Gunther is a little bit ahead of him, so Beniers is the number 2. Forward on the board. You know, again, he's going to be a safe pick, and he's going to go high because of that. And then Luke Hughes went right behind him at number 5. I'm wondering about how much the injury concern is now going to drop his stock a little bit, but that seems roughly about right. And then,
but the difference there is, like, when you're drafting a first-round lottery pick in hockey, it's different than in football and basketball, right? Where you can, I mean, Luke Hughes isn't going to play for his NHL team next year or the year after. So
yeah,
they're looking at his potential and saying, okay, is this a life-altering injury? And if it's not, he's probably going to get back to being...
Yeah, but teams get short-sighted in the near term a lot of times. And then Kent Johnson is at 8.
Which is high for you?
In this draft, I'm not opposed to him in the 8 range. Also of note, if you scroll down a little bit, Mackie either Samoskevich or Samoskevich. I've heard both now. At 31. And
that's what we talked about before, right? Like late first, early second?
Yeah. And then Dylan Duke's a little lower than a number of rankings I had seen. He's at 61.
Which is end of the second
round. Second round, yeah. So those are the Michigan guys worth noting.
All right. Now, will there be updates in May and June and blah, blah, blah?
Well, so the U18s are starting right now, and so there will definitely be an update after the U18. Normally, the last update would come like the Monday before the draft.
And that's like late July.
This year, yeah. I don't know if he'll do it earlier this year. Last year, the last update came out in June, and the draft wasn't until October. But that was because none of the players were going to be playing again.
Right, so what's the point?
Yeah,
sure. All right, well, that's your hockey update in the non-hockey cast. We will now transition to the other dirt sport. We touched on baseball, which I guess in the Big Ten, or at least at Michigan, is not a dirt sport.
What about motocross sport? Biking or whatever?
What do you know about
BMX? What is it called? Something like that, you know?
I don't know. BMX is a type of bike, right?
Yeah, like the Summer X Games, right?
Are you into that?
No, but those are on TV.
Would you?
Those are dirt sports. Those are more dirt sports. The whole playing surface is dirt.
Does Michigan have
bull riding? That's all on dirt.
How many scholarships do you think Michigan gives for bull riding? Would you be one of the
not
clowns?
Enough?
Would you be one of the clowns?
The clowns?
Yeah, they're the ones that like distract the bull so that the rider after it gets bucked off.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched enough bull riding.
Would you want to dress like a clown?
No, not really.
Is there a part of you that does? I was not expecting that at all. But Michigan has one dirt sport because their baseball field is carpet.
That's fair.
So softball is the other dirt sport, which is your specialty, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
So Michigan has been good all year. They dropped a couple games early in different series where you're like, oh, I wish that wouldn't have happened. But they still kind of managed to be first, second, third, in that range, and then just kind of kept winning games in a row. And at the end of, or very beginning of April, end of March, they had a pause with Michigan State where there was COVID issues,
yeah,
and they didn't play those games. They ended up playing one later, and I think they rescheduled one. So they're going to get two of them back and not the other two.
Which you would love to get them all back, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah. And the first series that we're going to discuss is the series in Columbus where Michigan ends up winning three of four games, including two crushings, a 7-0 and an 11-0.
Yeah, Ohio State isn't particularly good this year.
Are they generally?
They're always like in the second tier or third tier of the conference. Like they make the tournament some years. They had a team a couple years ago that was pretty solid, like 2018, 2019, when they had Lily Piper and a few of those, Emily Clark, Bree Betchell. They had some hitters that were decent. They're not as good now, at least this year. They kind of lost a game. They were up 2-0, and that was a little frustrating. But, you know, that's been their only loss that they shouldn't have in the last several weeks, which you're fine with in the end.
Yeah, so and plus it's nice to win in Columbus in anything, right? Like, that's just kind of a joy that we don't get as Michigan fans very often.
Well, you should just watch more softball then.
Okay. I'm just talking about throughout the calendar year. I guess we did win. Well, we split in hockey, right?
Yeah.
Which was a little frustrating. But so then they play Michigan State in a midweek game, get one of those back. They win 6-1.
Nothing much to say there.
Nothing there. You got
MSU is a team you should never lose to. But they frustratingly did in two Big Ten tournaments. But we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
In 17 and 18. But
And then 2 weekends ago they host Maryland, who, man, did you see that pitcher? She is like huge.
Maryland, they can pitch a little bit. They can hit a little bit. They're an interesting team.
Scored 3 runs against Michigan on the weekend.
Yeah. Michigan's pitching staff has been very, very good all season long. The highlight of the weekend was the Friday night home run by Lauren Essman, which came about a foot from leaving the stadium entirely. It hit the last row of bleachers in right field.
Oh, man.
It was just mad. If you watched the clip of it, the pitcher just looks straight down immediately as it leaves the bat. I mean, there was just no question.
It's one of those things where the outfielders don't move.
Yeah. They just kind of like, it was like, wow, that's like, wow.
You probably don't remember Dorian Shaw, do you?
No.
She was a first baseman for Michigan who used to repeatedly put balls on top of the indoor track building. And that was kind of fun.
Yeah, so, you know, again, when you play a team like Maryland, it's just don't lose any games. And
so Maryland is also in that Ohio State tier, would you say?
Yeah, they're a mediocre team.
So Michigan middle wins 4-2 in kind of a tight game on Friday, 2-0 on Saturday, and then the second half of the doubleheader, they win 5-1, and then Sunday is a walkover.
Yeah, I mean, Maryland, again, I think had a decent pitching staff, and Michigan's bats have been improving as the year goes along, but they're still not a great offensive team. They definitely prefer to win by their pitching because they have to. And then that became, you know, of course, even more apparent this weekend. So
now we'll settle into this weekend.
And that's the thing about softball is that, you know, I can talk a lot about these games, but, like, softball isn't like baseball. Teams don't lose. When we talk about baseball hosting teams losing their regionals, that doesn't really happen in softball. About one a year happens. Because in softball, there's a massive gap between the really good teams and the middle teams, even in a conference like the Big Ten.
Where would you say the gap is in terms of number of teams, like the top X number of teams?
Well, I mean, in the Big Ten, I think the top two or three are a lot better than the middle. But then the top two or three in the country are probably a lot better than the Big Ten's top two or three. Like Oklahoma, for example, or UCLA, for example, so are like, a lot better than even some pretty good teams.
So it's kind of like football.
Yeah, in some ways.
Where you have, like, sort of tiered out.
Yeah, I mean, there is some randomness still, but there's less randomness. And so in baseball, I never say, except against Minnesota, like, you have to sweep. Like, baseball is too random. Softball, yes. When you play a really bad team in softball, you have no excuse not to sweep. Like, you just don't. They don't. There isn't as much variation in randomness there.
That's interesting. So should we start with the Friday game? So they host. Okay, so now they're on to this past weekend, which ended yesterday, and they had a four-game set against Northwestern, who is usually very good.
So Northwestern was in the top three in the Big Ten.
Right.
And one of the only two series that really matter.
Michigan, Minnesota, and Northwestern. And they drew the pro lot, in this case, of hosting Northwestern. And on Friday, the first game was on ESPNU.
Yep.
That's big times. And they ended up losing 4-1, and it was 4-0 at one point, right? Like Michigan.
It was a very frustrating game.
Play very well.
One of the other things is that softball and relative to baseball, defense matters a lot more, and especially against a team like Northwestern. They don't strike out very much. They don't hit a lot of homers. They put a lot of balls in play, and they have a ton of speed. And with the bases being closer together, you know, when you get a slap hitter up there, like they had with Skylar Schellmeyer this weekend for Northwestern. If it's a ground ball to shortstop, I mean, it's a bang-bang play. Like, there is no Miguel Cabrera, you know, can't run to first base here. I mean, it's, you know, they get down the line in a hurry, and your defense, it puts a lot of pressure on your defense. And Michigan just kind of cracked on Friday. They had some issues defensively.
Well, their second baseman made a couple of errors, right?
Like, and
in right field and then on a bunt?
Yeah, there were some problems defensively.
Okay.
And they also were playing Danielle Williams. In the circle for Northwestern, who was Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 2019, has been really, really good for them all season. And yeah, this was a game you were going to need. It was going to need to be close, and you weren't going to be able to make many mistakes to win. And they made way too many early on and fell behind the eight ball. And you know, the other interesting thing is that despite Daniel Williams being a junior, this was the first time they'd ever seen her. So the bats were taking a little bit of time to adjust, and it wasn't until late in the game they even got a hit. When Taylor Bump hit a home run, that was their lone run in the game. But I think that experience, though, set them up well when they saw her again the next day.
So they saw her on Saturday at noon in the first game?
Uh-uh. First game was Lauren Boyd against Alex Duraco.
Okay. And that one went...
Because Bobian went in the Friday night game.
And Duraco pitched Saturday at noon, and that definitely went Michigan's favor as they ended up winning 7-2.
Yeah, Alex made one mistake. In a note, there was a.
Do Alex's make mistakes?
There was a. In the fourth inning, there was a play where they had put a pinch runner at first. The pinch runner was stealing, and she was out. I mean, Hannah Carson's throw was in time. The tag was applied, and the runner started walking back to the dugout, and then the umpire said safe.
So then, could you tag her at that point?
Yeah, well, they tried to, but she got back in time.
Oh, all right.
I mean, it was. The crowd was irate. It was bad.
Were you irate?
I mean, you know, on the air, you never want to be too up in the... And I, having umpired at a brief time in my past, it's tough. I think umpiring and refereeing any sport is impossible nowadays with the amount of rules you have to keep in mind and how fast the game moves. Yeah. But I have a lot of respect for anyone who does it. But sometimes, you know, they just miss calls, and that's the way it goes. But then it was an 0-1 count. Starocco got another strike to go to 0-2, and then she left a pitch over the plate and got hit for a 2-run homer. And that put Northwestern up 2-1 when the call at second would have ended the inning. And so now
Everyone irate-er?
Everyone is now grumbling. But that was it. That was the only mistake, because the thing about Starocco this year that's been amazing is that her big problem throughout her career prior to this season was she always gave up hard contact. She'd get the strikeouts. She didn't give up a ton of base runners, but her ERA was way higher than her WHIP would indicate because she gave up way too many homers.
Crushed.
When she made mistakes, they were leaving the yard. This year, if you get a hit off her, it's a single. I mean, she's been so good at only allowing soft contact. And so the rare home run there, I think it was only I don't know off the top of my head, but it's very few she's allowed this season relative to past years. But yeah, now you're down 2-1, and Lauren Boyd wasn't a great pitcher, and you knew Michigan was going to have some more chances. My concern was that they were going to bring Williams in for the save, but then in the bottom of the fourth, things kind of come together where there's a play that I had the chance to call.
I don't know if this is like your senior year lap of where you're getting to just have the limelight, but you've gotten to make, what, 2 or 3 really prominent calls now? Like, you had the Obertop home run, then you had this one.
Yeah, and then I had one later in the day. But Lexi Blair hits a ground ball over to short with the bases loaded.
Pounds a ground ball.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard-hit grounder. And Hoganrod makes a really veteran play in that she kind of screens the shortstop and stands kind of in front of her but doesn't obstruct and blurs her vision, and then she starts running. And the shortstop, Maeve Nelson, has a bad read on the ball, and it kind of goes between the legs. And the outfield for Northwestern was playing super shallow, which I just don't understand.
When Lexi Blair's up, she's like one of Michigan's probably their best hitter.
She's their best hitter, not their best power hitter, but she does have power. She has 4 homers on the year up to that point.
Right, so she's not a slap hitter.
She's not Natalia Rodriguez, and I don't understand what they were doing there, because when that ball got through the hole, all of a sudden, the outfielders were coming. They didn't get to come running in, right? They had to run parallel, almost, run sideways. And they both dove, and it got past them and rolled all the way.
They dove?
Yeah. And it rolled past them and rolled all the way to the wall. When if they were playing straight up, they would have just ran over, scooped it up.
Or let one of them dive and the other one run to the wall?
Well, one didn't get over there in time. Like, they both kind of came over in a do-or-die situation. Okay. And then when it got to the wall, you were like, oh, boy. And, you know, I mean, Lexi was able to come home with no throw. And so at the time, it was scored as an inside-the-park grand slam. A lot of, on a ground ball.
Have you ever seen that before?
No.
Even in baseball?
No, I have not seen it inside the park grand slam on a ground ball to short. But it was, there were Northwestern fans who were very angry that that was not multiple errors.
What do they care?
I don't know, maybe they were protecting the pitcher's ERA, I'm not sure. Jeez. But regardless, that put Michigan up 5-2, and at that point you were like, this game's over.
Yeah.
Starocco's not giving up any more runs, and they get a couple little more padding later on. And so that, you know, that evens it at 1-1. And now you're going back to the Williams-Bobian matchup, which doesn't favor you.
So now we're to game 3, which is pretty much right afterwards.
Yeah. And, you know, so they go to this matchup, and this pitching matchup doesn't favor you. Williams had been really good on Friday, and Bobian, you know, she's been good, but not invincible this season. So you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. And then, you know, Northwestern scores first. Michigan comes back, makes it 1-1. Northwestern later on takes a 3-1 lead. Michigan's getting chances to claw back. It goes to the sixth inning, and Michigan gets back-to-back singles to put 2 runners on. And Julia Jimenez is coming to the plate. And Jimenez had looked awful all game long.
And she usually hits near the bottom of the lineup, right?
She's in like 7th. I mean, she's a 300 hitter. She's a fine hitter, and she doesn't strike out much. And she had 2 strikeouts in that game, one of which was on a changeup that bounced in, and she swung and missed. It was bad. and
some cricket stuff.
You could just really tell it was not her day. So I was fine with the decision to insert a pinch hitter. And then we are told that the pinch hitter is Chandler Dennis, who is a pitcher who has 3 career plate appearances. and, you know, it was
Is
just,
the irateness coming back? Can you feel it emanating?
Well, there wasn't time to be irate because she stepped up on the first pitch and hit a double to right field. And, you know, we were on the broadcast just kind of like, well, this is interesting. We'll see what happens. And then she slices a ball that drops in fair on the right field line, and it bounces around in the corner. And, it, you know, both runners come home from first and second to tie the game at 3. And so it's like, wow, here we go. And so then it goes to the 7th, and Bobian gets through the top of the 7th, and you go to the bottom of the half. And at this point, Danielle Williams is just shot. And you can just tell she doesn't have it. She's been worn down. Michigan is really seeing her well. And so they
Should they have gone to the bullpen, do you think?
You live or die with your ace.
Okay.
And so Michigan gets leadoff runner on. Then Lexi Blair hits a single, 2 on. Nat Rod lays down a bunt to move them up. 2nd and 3rd, 1 out.
Are you okay with that? Because
I
know there's like...
Yes.
Like there's have, the bunting issues between you and Craig specifically of where... It is like
I have
you should
problems
be shot
with,
and then hung after that if you bunt.
I have problems with how much Hutch likes to bunt, but in that situation it was the correct call.
Okay.
Because now your runner, you know, your winning runner is that close to home, and Lou's coming to the plate, and you're just saying, okay, anything to the outfield that's, you know, not shallow gets us done. And I think it was a 1-0 count, and... You know, it just jumps right off the bat. And so instantly I'm like, well, the game's over because it's either getting caught or it's a home run. And either way, the runner's getting in. And then you kind of look and you're like, oh, there's no doubt here. And it just goes off the scoreboard. And that kind of just epitomized Danielle Williams' day, is that she just didn't have it by the end and just threw a meatball right there.
Was your call for that better or worse than the Obertop?
Well, it's a little different than the Obertop situation. That was just unthinkable, whereas this was, you know...
Did you have something planned? Like, did you think about it? Like, uh-oh, if she comes up, this is what I got to say?
No. I mean, it was just like, okay, a little home run. I'm going to walk off homer. I've done those before.
yawn for Alex Drain.
And so that was big because that got you to 2-1 on the weekend. And then you've got the Sunday matchup with Starocco going against not Danielle Williams, which is exactly where you want it.
So Michigan was walking into that almost +1.
Yeah, feeling good.
Yeah.
And you got pretty much what you wanted to. I mean, Morgan Newport started, and she's a fine pitcher. Not as good as Williams, but pretty good. And Michigan...
So they have 3 starters, or 3 pitchers?
They have 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
We saw...
That they use?
Lauren Dvorak doesn't come in very much, but she is a pitcher. And so Newport started, wasn't much offense in that game, really. And then Michigan got a 2-out homer from Taylor Bump in, I think, the 3rd or the 4th inning. Who's just been on fire the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, because she was hitting down at the bottom of the lineup and didn't have many home runs to start, right?
It's hard not to feel great for Taylor Bump. I mean, she is really someone who's worked hard and put in a lot of work and spent a lot of time on the bench and is just a lot better this year than she used to be.
How is she defensively at 3rd?
I've seen no problem. She made a diving play in foul territory to seal the game on Saturday, the first game. And, yeah, I've had no issues with her there.
Because you mentioned that Michigan does struggle on defense at times, but it sounds like she's not...
They had a rough Friday night, but Saturday and Sunday they were sharp defensively, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you get the 2-0 lead, and then Starocco just really doesn't run into any problems the rest of the way. And Michigan gets a chance to put in some insurance runs in the 6th, because Northwestern brought in Sydney Supley to start the 6th inning. And she, you could just tell, isn't very good. And Michigan was hitting her hard, got 2 runners in scoring position like right away. And they brought Williams back in. And she wiggled out of it. I mean, that was a situation where Northwestern knew the situation. If they lose that game, their chance of winning the Big Ten is over.
Yeah.
And so they brought in. And if you allow 2 runners to score there, your chance of winning that game is over.
Yeah.
You're not getting 4 in the 7th off of Starocco. So,
I mean, you're lucky to get 2.
They did the right thing to keep the game 2-0. But they still couldn't muster anything in the 7th. And so Northwestern is now out of the picture.
So Michigan has took 3 of 4 after losing the first one.
Yep.
Not looking great in it. And
I mean, it was a really resilient performance. They played really well. They got clutch hits, which has been issues over the past 5 years at times. And I mean, that series really made me think this is a team that you know, in the regional could be pretty good. And if they get the right matchup, could definitely make the Supers, I think.
Can they host it?
The hosts are being decided this week by the NCAA.
So it's not the top 16?
No. It's 16 teams. We don't know who they are. Might be Michigan. Who knows?
Great. I don't know I know what I think about that, but...
So
we'll look back at the standings now and see where we're at and kind of the teams they have coming up, but like you said, that all but put Northwestern out of it. Obviously, anyone behind them is not winning it, so it's down to two teams with them in Minnesota, and this is where some of those games against Michigan State could come in handy.
Michigan's got the inside edge. I gamed this out yesterday. If Michigan goes 2-2 against Minnesota and they win every other game besides that, they win the conference.
And that's interesting because if you look at the rest of their schedule...
It's very easy.
They go to Penn State and they host Rutgers, and in addition to that one game in East Lansing. And Penn State and Rutgers are in second to last and last in the Big Ten.
They are very, very bad.
You've seen both of them?
I haven't seen them, but I've seen their stats. Penn State entered Sunday hitting 176 as a team, which I've never seen I've never seen anything that bad.
That's like it's like what the Mets hit with runners in scoring.
Their team OPS I think is like 492 or something. It's astonishing. And Rutgers
do they pitch at all?
Yeah, they can pitch. They just
Penn
can't
State
hit.
Does?
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, that's scary.
Michigan's going to win every game like 3-0. I mean,
I think so.
I will be shocked if Penn State gets 2 runs in 4 games off Michigan. And then Rutgers is the reverse. Rutgers can pitch, but they can't hit. I mean, sorry, they can hit, but they can't pitch. Rutgers' team ERA, I think, was over 6 entering Sunday.
Are you going to call those games? Those are the last ones.
Maybe.
Here.
And we're still working that out.
Okay.
But, you know, Michigan's put themselves in a good spot. The reality is, with those two teams and MSU, there's no excuse to lose any of those games.
Mm-hmm. And that's, what, 9 games?
9 games. And so if you do that, all you got to do is go 2-2 against Minnesota.
Because they're currently up on Minnesota by what, a game?
A half game.
Half game.
Yeah.
The way is how it breaks down.
So if you win all your other games and you go 2-2, you stay.
And there's no Big Ten tournament.
Correct.
So it's just, so why is there, there's one for baseball.
No, there isn't.
Oh, there isn't?
No, they were both canceled.
Oh.
You go right into the NCAAs. So, you know, I would rather be Michigan than Minnesota at this juncture.
Would you rather be Michigan than Nebraska in baseball?
I don't know. It's not like, you know, softball, you can just go down the list and you can go WL, right? And just game it out. You know, against a mediocre team, you hope for 4-for-4, but you can be okay with 3-for-4. Against a bottom team, you go 4-for-4. I mean, that's just how it works. So I like where Michigan's at. They're on the verge of being a top 16 seed at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think if they went 3-1 against Minnesota, they may honestly get one. I mean, what's tough about the Big Ten this year is we don't have those non-conference games. So,
you don't know how good they are versus the rest.
Yeah,
of the
2 years ago, the Big Ten was actually very good. The Big Ten had 3 regional hosts, 2 teams in the Supers, and 1 team in the Women's College World Series. I don't know if the conference is that good this year.
But you've seen Michigan play a lot, especially in the last 4 years. Does this look like a World Series team?
Here's what I'll say. I don't know about Women's College World Series, but Alex Duraco gives Michigan something they have never had in recent years. I mean, I was looking through the conference stats of the past. The MGO Blue stat page goes back to 2004. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just looking at conference stats because you can't compare this year to a separate year where you're playing tough non-conference teams. But just looking at conference stats, you have to go back to at least 2008 to find a pitcher with the conference numbers of Alex Duraco. She's been unbelievably dominant.
Is she their number one?
By far.
But she's pitching as a number two.
She's a number one.
But they start Bobian.
No, they don't. They get equal starts. It's a 4-game series. You get 2-2.
So it doesn't matter who pitches game one? There's not like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday starter?
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
I mean, if you get into the postseason, you're in a regional, you got to start Stronko. You have to. I mean, she's just been a lot better. She's not giving up any contact. She's not giving up any runs. I would think she would. I don't know. But, I mean, Stracco's entered the weekend number one in ERA in the country, number one in strikeouts per 7 innings in the country.
Wow.
Right at the top in whip. I mean, she's The only caveat is playing the Big Ten. But again, just looking at Michigan pitchers historically against the conference.
In conference.
She's better than anybody. You know, Megan Betsa or Haley Wagner or any of them. She's having the best conference season currently of any pitcher in the last 15 years in Michigan.
Wow.
So when you have that, that gives you a weapon in the regionals. And this team's hitting is coming around. You're getting more power now. I still have worries about the bottom of the order. Kirsten and Hogenrod, I think, if you can find a way to get something better, you have to try and do that. They pinch hit Lexi Voss for Kirsten three times over the weekend, and I think that could be a sign that Voss might be jumping her soon. But otherwise, you know, they're not a great hitting team, but they have done enough, and they showed a lot of resilience and a clutch gene to come back and win those games. And if they can win the conference, I think they have a shot to be interesting in late May and early June. But you never know.
Well, we've been here before with Michigan softball, right? Like, this isn't uncharted territory. I mean, they're usually top two or three in the conference, battling it out for, you know, winning either the regular season or the Big Ten title. And a lot of times they're hosting, I would say, right? A regional. And then it's up in the air as to how good they are if they're going to host a super regional. So this is, maybe they're not quite as good depth wise, I would say.
This does not feel like a 2015 or 2016 caliber team, but I think it's a pretty solid team. But those teams are different, right?
Yeah.
16 had some leaky pitching at times, and I mean, just that 3 or 4 year span, the lineup was unreal.
Yeah.
Just unfathomably real good. Like,
yeah,
you know, 500-400 hitters and stuff. I mean, it's Oklahoma stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
we were Oklahoma for a short period of time, but the pitching did them in 2016. I mean, that team didn't go as far as I think they should have, but it's because they got let down in the circle. This team's the opposite. Hmm.
Anything else that you have? I know we came up with some ideas of things we might be able to do next week, or if not the week after, but anything else that you need to catch everyone else up on?
Not really.
No? All right. Well, have a great week, guys, and we'll see you soon.
Listening to Michigan HockeyCast 3.21 for Alex Drain and David Nasternak. There may be an episode in the future where some sports are talked about. I don't know. We're just making this up.